Savages, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. First off, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Trust me, people, you're going to love it. Thank you. Welcome to the Savage Empire. I'm going to use my calm voice. Put you all at ease. Keep everybody cool, calm, collective. And not freak out. Relax. Breathe. Try to let go of the anger. Breaths in, deep breaths out. The theme of this episode today is a therapy session. I figured we all needed it. Put that out there on Twitter before. It was a good opportunity for everybody to vent. And I got pretty good responses. I'm glad to see that everybody was participating. It's not every day that somebody allows you to get it off your chest. I said, say whatever you want to say. I'm not going to fight you on anything. You have every reason to believe everything that you say. The Yankees have made it that way. But before we get to that, we must strap in, go through the pain, and relive it. We're going to start with the Yankee Met game. A 9-7 loss. Hap pitched 5 innings, 8 hits, 4 earned, 4 Ks. Yankees offense. I'll get to the meltdown at the end of the game here, but let's get to the scoring. Wade, RBI single. DJ sack fly, Voit 2-run double, 4-0 in the top second. Gio RBI single makes it 5-4 in the seventh. Gardner RBI double 6-4. Hicks RBI single 7-4. All right, 7-4. Well in control. Britton comes in to do his inning in the eighth. 1 inning, 3 hits, 2 earned. So he makes it 7-6. Good guys. Didn't give up the lead. Managed to make it through the inning, but you know how I feel about it and why my buddy coined the phrase Mr. Excitement, and I like to broadcast it on Twitter for Chapman. He is surely Mr. Excitement because he can never get through a clean inning. He always has to be drama full. So the Yanks are up 7-6 in the ninth. And wouldn't you know, Chapman, 1 inning, 2 hits, 1 earned, 2 Ks. Breathe in. Tie game, bonus Cantos, free baseball for the masses. Abreu comes in the pitch with a man on second base for that stupid-ass rule. No innings pitched, obviously. 1 hit, 1 earned, 2-run, game-winning bomb to Pete Alonso, the polar bear. Breathe in, breathe out. -7 loss. The even the Subway Series at 3 games apiece. Breathe in, breathe out. Follow along with me at home, everybody. Breathe in, breathe out. It's a therapy session. Okay, no problem. We're playing some pretty bad ball. Offense came more alive today. But we can't do everything right. So, blew the game. On to Baltimore, right? The Orioles, come on. This is going to be easy. They're going to right the ship. And we're going to be just fine, right? We're all excited. Yes, Baltimore. Glaber's going to be back at some point in this series. Fucking good. Let's go. Let's get rolling. Game one. A 6-5 win. Hey, all right. Positive. Baby steps. Michael King, 4 innings, 4 hits, 3 earned, 3 Ks. Down 1. Top 2. Gary Sanchez. Release the Kraken! Blasted one to tie the game at 1. Gary Sanchez, surely he will get going now, right? Right? Breathe in, breathe out. Gardner, 2-run single, makes it 3-1, top 3. Talkman, with RBI walk, makes it 4-1. And then the bullpen can't hold it. Michael King and the bullpen can't hold it. Tied at 4. Remember, this is a 7-inning game, so they ended up playing 9. RBI single for Miggy with Holder running because Boone apparently didn't know the rule. And the Orioles didn't know it either because they had to do it in their bottom half. That you don't have to, when the pitcher comes into the game, he doesn't have to run. Apparently, you can go to the out before him. But nobody was aware. Good job by the league explaining this to the managers. Really good job forcing this rule down everybody's throat and not explaining it. Anyway, RBI single for Miggy. Holder scores. Clint with an RBI insurance. Makes it 6-4. Green comes in, gives up a run. 6-5. Final. All right, baby steps. We got to win. Kept off Toronto for another day. And then the next day happened. Friday. Oh, I'm sorry, the next day, the next game happened. This is a doubleheader. 6-3 loss. Devy pitched. Looked good really early on. When his pitch count got up, he ended up the numbers really not looking good in his favor, but pitched pretty well for a second start. 4-2 innings. What do we got here? 4 earned, 6 Ks. Now the 4 earned was the runs that were tacked on when he left. Because the man we all been waiting for, the man we've been begging Cashman to put on the 40 and bring up for weeks, the savior, Clark Schmidt, makes his major league debut in the middle of an inning. First time ever for him. And boy, did it go bad. It went bad. Oof. Oof. 1 1/3. 3 hits, 2 earned, 1 K. The line obviously doesn't show it because half of his runs that came in were charged to Debbie. So it's rough. It's rough for the kid. That's a horrible situation. I don't want to kill Boone for it. I feel like he almost had to do it because the guys in the pen have been pitching a lot ever since Monty kind of fucked us the other day. These guys have just been overused. And I understand. And I'm sure he didn't want to have to do it. So I'm going to cut him a little bit of slack here. Schmidt, I'm sure, was amped up. First ever appearance. Just not good. Doesn't matter about the scoring. That's pretty much the game details right there. 6-3 loss. Saturday's game, yesterday's game. Gerrit Cole, the ace, the savior. Surely he will right the ship. He looked great. His numbers, 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned, 10 Ks. That's a great line, right? Great line. It's a little bit misleading because they managed to score, I guess, 5 or 6 runs off of him, although it doesn't count. They're unearned because of the Miguel Andujar error. Positive note, Glaber was back, activated. So that's good. Except, you know, for the 6-1 loss. I'm not really getting into this game. Cole pitched outstanding until the error happened, and then the floodgates opened. And it was just bad. Whatever. Breathe in. Breathe out. The finale today, Masahiro Tanaka on the bump. 5-1, 6 hits, 2 earned, 5 Ks. Kratz with RBI, ground out, force out, I guess. 5-1 loss. That's it. It's really not much more I can say. Breathe in. Breathe out. Say it along with me. Follow at home. Breathe in. Breathe out. Okay. This team just shows to me right now. That they just don't, I don't know if they have the fight, the sense of urgency. I don't know if it's because they've been brought up to believe that the games are, like, I don't know, less meaningless because, you know, they're trying to just hobble to the playoffs. I mean, they're holding the 8th spot. Toronto is now in 2nd place. Tampa's running away with this division. The Orioles are on our ass to take the final wild card spot from us. Boone, after the game, is talking about time to turn the page. So now there's urgency. When you're at rock bottom, I guess there's only one place to go but up. So it's time to turn the page, right? I don't know if this team is good enough to do so. It's all about turning the page, or as I like to put it, flip the switch, right? It's time to flip the switch. Okay. Which leads me to my poll. Do you have any faith in the Yankees' ability to, quote unquote, flip the switch when this team is, quote unquote, healthy? 2 choices. I didn't even try to get cute. Yes, but it better be fast because they're running out of games. There's like 20 games left, 21 or 20 games left. Or no, there's too many problems. Very close poll. 52.2% says no, there's too many problems. 47.8% said yes, but it better be fast. Yeah, That's about right. I mean, it's just, it gets down to everybody still has faith deep down inside that this team, when they get Judge and Stanton back and Paxton and Gio back, that this lineup will be whole. And you can carry Gary, apparently, because he's not even hurt and he just sucks this year. And we've shit on him. And everybody shit on him. And I'm tired of shitting on Gary. At some point, he's going to need to step up. And just start playing better, start hitting. He's going to have to at some point. I don't know what else he, I don't know. I don't know what else is there to say. I just don't. I have no idea what else to say. I don't know. I mean, to me, it looks like he goes up there having not studied any of the opposing pitchers, what their tendencies are, what they like to throw, or anything like that. It seems like he's going up there totally guessing. He's not doing the prep work. And I don't know if it's because he can't walk and chew gum at the same time. Is he solely focused on better defense? Because he's been atrocious with the one knee bullshit and the pass balls and everything else. I can give two shits about framing a pitch. It doesn't seem to be much more different than when he was regularly catching in a catching stance. His offense is non-existent. I think I saw a stat that in 100 bats this year, he struck out 47 times. That's just about 50%. And you can see it. He goes up there and he swings the bat like he's trying to kill every pitch, but he doesn't know where the ball is going to be. His pitch recognition is terrible. His approach to every at bat is terrible. Yeah, eventually he gets a hold of one. His average is abysmal. It's embarrassing. And somebody's shooting off fireworks, because why not? It's every fucking day around here. Breathe in. Breathe out. Okay, that's my Gary rant. Moving on. I did say it was going to be a therapy session. So let's get to it. We'll start with my buddy, Crime Pays at Woody Jr. 67. This team has been an embarrassment on many levels. Bad teams find ways to lose. They appear to have no heart. Many of Boone's decisions, quotation marks, are actually organizational, but there are plenty of in-game moves to point to. There is plenty of blame for all, but the captain goes down with the ship. Sounds to me like he wants Boone to be gone at the end of the year. I've noticed that a lot on Twitter. I would say that's more of an emotional response from most people. I will go ahead and tell you, most likely, that's not going to happen. I think you all know that. He's most definitely going to get another year to do something, because this year, I think, is just whatever. And to me, it counts. All these games count. It might be the hardest ring to ever win. But I think in terms of the organization, they're going to cut him a long leash this year. Frenchie 44 at CM Frenchie. Franchi. Excuse me. Did I say Frenchie? I meant Franchi. I'm disappointed. So am I. I don't know how else to say. Smully at Smully Wolfson. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. Just a few weeks ago, I said I miss baseball. I still do, but not sure what the fuck this is. Yeah. It's all fucking dandies and shit when we're winning, right? Noah Sark at Noah Sark. Sark. I'm sure I'm killing it. My apologies to everybody. I'm just not good at reading words, apparently, or names. When does this season become a total loss? I replied. Oh, he wrote, I can't fault Boone, I think, but this team has zero life and he's not helping. I said he's definitely made a lot of mistakes, but overall, it's the players on the field that got to get their shit together. And when does this season become a total loss? Closer by the day. My buddy Tiana at TQUA2CI. 0 for 10, not having a good time, would not recommend watching the Yankees. I wrote, I don't blame you. I don't want anybody to watch this. It's embarrassing right now. John at XXJohnny6XX. I'm surprised people aren't lighting up at Tyler Wade Twitter account. Laugh out loud. Guys, a waste to our team. Good point. Not that you would see it on his account anyway, because I'm sure he wouldn't post it. Larry Smirker at LT Rain. Bombers lost again. Oh, well, I wouldn't know. Too busy enjoying my weekend. Fuck them. They don't care. Why in the fuck would I? Thank you all for coming out. God bless and good night. That sounds about right. They don't care. They're showing it on the field that they don't care. Why should we, right? Less stress. Holiday weekend, everybody. Go out there and enjoy yourself. This show will help you. Listen to my show. It'll help you relax. Not ranting today. Relax. It's a therapy session. Mrs. Tater at makeup_mofo. I'm just pissed because we're the fucking Yankees. And this is not how we do shit. I have hope, though, but I do get mad. We're better than this crap, and we're all mad because we know it. I wrote, I was mad. Now, well, not. I meant now. I'm just dumbfounded. I just can't comprehend what the hell is going on. To which she wrote, like John Boy, as a competitional host. Not be giving them credit. I don't care. Like John Boy said, too much rest. We're babying our most important people. Too many injuries. Thought we would work that shit out because of last year, and it's all too familiar, disappointing. Sadly, that comes from the nerds, and it's backfiring big time. Yeah, Glaber comes back yesterday and must have really tired himself out because they gave him a day off today, except he came in to pinch hit. But they didn't let him play the field at the end of the game. So, is he getting a full day off or what? Why are you even giving him a bat? It's just head scratching shit like that. Just makes me go nuts. Fellow podcaster, Yankee Crazy Podcast at Yankee Crazy Pod. Can you really be upset, with a few exceptions, the scrubs they're sending out in the field each day? If anything, be upset with management giving players like Torres and DJ these planned rest days with such little time remaining in the schedule. I wrote, I'm definitely more furious with management, like 80-20, but the players have to be better. They have to play better. It would take managerial decisions away other than the rest, you know, the rest bullshit. The rest thing, I don't get it. To which he replied, yes, agreed. Players need to perform, but for some, they just don't have the MLB talent. Looking at you, Tyler Wade. that food guy at MJ Torres 12/3. Everybody knows him. He's our buddy, our residential hot dog and 6,000 apple tasting guy. Him and his wife wrote, "I won't do it. I'm going to the gym. I'll be sad and in shape." He's absolutely right. Take a breather. Go to the gym. Work out. Work the anger out. Listen to my show on your phone, which is, I'm sure he is. He's a good man. Hopefully you all will too. Tell everybody about it. Just saying. Just don't out there. Breathe in. Breathe out. Staying alive at Greek underscore God. This whole team has been Sanchized, which I wrote, nice one. Laugh out loud. I thought that was pretty good. It was a funny joke. The problem is, I don't think he's joking. CG Big Timer at C Jizzle 101. This has been a rough weekend. Yankees might end up having games under 500 for the first time since 92. I remember 92. I'm sure a lot of you do. I remember, I was born in 81. I remember the late 80s till about 93, they were starting to come out of it. But 94 was when they really started to look good. And we all know what happened then. And then 95, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I call those the dark ages. I'm sure all of us have been through it, refer to it that way or in other ways, but you know what I mean. Those are rough years. They didn't have the talent we have on this team now. So there shouldn't be excuses. Stephanie Sweet at Sweet Stephanie 7. Dear hashtag Yankees Twitter, they ain't winning shit this year. Hashtag facts matter. I wrote, definitely doesn't feel that way. She wrote, doesn't look like it either. My buddy Pool Noodle at Blue Russian 35. Season is tainted, ended already. Tainted or not, they shouldn't be this bad. Turns out, we have no depth at all. Turned out right. Third place, AL East, New York Yankees, at New York Yankees Fan Forever 96. They suck. I wrote, dark ages sucking for sure. Don't want to go back to those days. Kate at NYY underscore Kate. We're well and truly cooked. I wrote, yes and yes. Chris Vitale at Chris Vitale. They stink. Yes, they do. Yvonne McGarvey at Yvonne McGarvey. I'm confused. Lots of emotions, and that is definitely one of them. Confusion is definitely one of the right emotions you should be feeling. I'm very confused by this. I look at this team, and I'm like, they shouldn't be this bad. When we saw large sample sizes last year of these same players who were up here playing now, was the juiced baseball last year really that much of a difference? I guess it is. I don't know. El Padre at Dopey Meacham. The bottom line is injuries and second-level players finally being exposed. Gardner diminished. General lack of starter depth. It finally caught up. The next man up mentality, I mean, it finally caught up. Now, a lot of that has to do with no AAA, so these guys aren't stretched out in the minors against real competition. So, you know, there could have been other hidden gems for all we know that we could have used this year. That, I'm sure that hurt too. But bottom line is the guys who are there now are all very capable of positive contributions. And there's just too many outs in this lineup. And it's a lot of pressure on the guys who are hitting consistently. A lot of pressure on DJ and Voight. And, well, not Glaber, Gio when he's not injured. That's pretty much it. Everybody else has been very inconsistent. When Judge is in the lineup, he hits, but he hasn't been. We'll get him back in a couple weeks, probably. Who knows? We'll get to that in a second. Rob Brunel at Rob Brunel. Just can't believe they're this bad. Me too. I really can't. I mean, we've gone over this a million times. I can't believe they're this bad. Shelly Tomasi at Shell 895. I'm fucking pissed. Me too. I'm fucking pissed too. But this is a therapy session, so I'm going to breathe in, breathe out. She wasn't done writing. 240 characters aren't enough to say all about this. So I'm going to vent through writing an article. She's right. She's right. It's definitely not enough. So let's see here. I think I have one more. Here we go. One more under the gun before I started recording. Glenn Morrow at Glenn Morrow 1981. I'm assuming he was born in 81, so was I, my friend. I'm mad at the managers and coaches. You can't motivate these guys and put some fire under their asses? We need someone with a Michael Jordan mentality to lead this team. Sad bunch of bums, no passion. Yeah. I mean, imagine a Michael Jordan on this team. How great would that be right now? Here's the biggest problem. And it's showing up. And I don't know why. It shouldn't be a problem. Where's the leadership? Where's the players only meeting to hash all this out? Where, you know, kick the managers out, let the players vent and go off on each other and maybe have a fight because they should. Where's the accountability? Where's somebody standing up and saying enough? Who is the leader in this clubhouse? And you're probably thinking, oh, it's got to be Judge. Well, Judge ain't there. He's in New York. And you can't lead from the bench. Who is the leader on this team? Gardner should be. He's been there the longest. I feel like part of why they re-signed him was because of his leadership. I guess that was all CeCe. But CeCe's not on the team anymore. He's not walking in through those doors. Best he can do is call people up and maybe curse at somebody, I guess. He's not showing up. DJ? DJ's a free agent. He may not be here next year. Doesn't seem like the kind of guy who is vocal, though. Seems more of a lead by example kind of guy. But they need somebody in that room. Should be Garrett Cole. He's got 9 years. 8 more years after this. He's not going anywhere. He seems like the kind of guy that would rather win and die trying than lose and nothing happen. The intensity on him is what I want the rest of these guys to have. The results have not been there of late. He'll be the first one to tell you that. But who is stepping up in this locker room? Is this going to happen when Judge walks in? He's going to have some kind of Superman complex. I'm like, hey, I'm here, so let's roll. By the time he gets here, they might be a week of games left. They might be out of it. And if they're out of it and it doesn't look like they can anywhere get into it, they may not even bring him back. They may just shut him down. They may shut down Stanton. Paxson might be gone after this. I don't know where the leadership is. A lot of things are going on we have to keep track of. lot of things. This team next year, I don't know how they have to do it, but somehow they need to be different next year. There needs to be, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I'm out of answers because you got to bring DJ back. I just don't think they can't. But if they don't trust Glaber at short, you're going to move him back to second? Who's going to be your shortstop? Are they going to go after Lindor? Is there somebody else out there I don't know about? What do you do with DJ? Do you move him to first? Do you have him play third? Or do you have him play second? But then what do you do with Glaber? Glaber will probably be a second base. I don't know what they're going to do. But something needs to be changed by next year because they can't keep going with this team and just hoping that the injuries don't happen. The injuries are going to happen, especially to Judge, especially to Stanton. Gary has to be better. I don't know what they're going to do with him, but he needs to be better. The pitching has to be better next year. Forget about this year. This year is just a fight. It is what it is at this point. They need to just bear down and figure this shit out right now to have any shot of winning anything. But I mean next year. We're thinking long term here. Because you can't go 3 years with just projected lineup that can't even make it through the first month of the season in the course of a long season. But how many multiple DL or IL trips are these guys going to have? It's inconsistent lineups that'll never get going. Makes Clint Frazier indispensable now, doesn't it? Plays decent defense and hits the ball, and that's all you can ask for. If he's not our starting left fielder next year, what are we doing? It's time to say goodbye to Gardner. As sad as it is, some people are saddened by that. Other people are like, yes, finally. He's not leading this team, so why is he here? His defense has not been great. It's been good. His hitting is not anywhere near last year. Juice ball or not, he's not hitting consistently either. And he's getting the at-bats now. Hicks, I think, will be better next year. I think mentally and physically he'll be healed and he'll be ready to go. Not worried about him too much. Kleber's got to get better at short if he's going to stay there. There's just no way around it. Get your head in the game. You got Voit and Mike Ford at first base. Obviously, they like Voit. I don't think he's going anywhere. Ford will be his backup. I don't think he's going anywhere. Do we upgrade at catcher? And you're all going to think, yeah, Real Muto. You're not getting Real Muto because that's going to cost a shit ton of money. And they won't do it to Gary. But maybe you get a pretty decent backup catcher. Maybe Higgy isn't the guy that we thought he would be. We'll just keep Kratz. Kratz is 40 years old. I'd rather him retire, get hired, and be the new catching coach and fix Gary's one knee bullshit. Let's get that taken care of. I mean, I don't know. Trades have to be made. Do you bring back Paxton? Do you bring back Tanaka? I mean, I don't know. I would like for them to get Trevor Bauer. And despite the bullshit that apparently there's beef between him and Cole, I think that was before Cole became like an analytical freak, which Bauer is. So I think they'd be speaking the same language, and I think it would be a total upgrade in the rotation. And I'd rather throw him the money than Paxton. I'm sorry. I'd rather. Paxton, over the 2 years, has not been the guy you really want to sign long-term. Love to keep Tanaka here. Hopefully he can stay on a friendly contract, but I'm not opening up the vault for him either. It's only Tanaka time in the playoffs. And the way it's going this year, they're not making the playoffs. I mean, do we have an idea here? You gotta be sensible, all right? You can't just be like emotional and be like, well, they're gonna get rid of Gary. Well, first off, why would anybody trade for Gary right now? If they DFA'd him, somebody would pick him up. You're not getting anything top flight for Gary on the market. Why would any team give you a really good player or two for Gary when he hits basically 100? Nobody is. So Gary's in the plants. So you got to keep him there because they're not getting rid of him, which means Real Muto is not coming here. Let's get rid of that fairy tale now, because if they sign Real Muto, I'll be fucking shocked. Especially, he's not coming at a cheap price. He's going for market value, top-paying catcher easily in the game. So you keep that in mind. Because the Phillies fucked him over, and he's not giving them a discount. So, and he's older than Gary by a couple years or so. Do they need better depth players for the inevitable injuries? Tyler Wade cannot be on this team next year. I still believe in Tyro, but I wouldn't be opposed to trading him. Andujar, what are we doing with him? If they're keeping Gio here, there's no need for Andujar, because offensively, they're pretty much the same. He hasn't really lit anything up yet. His defense is atrocious. And the experiment of making him an outfielder where you don't need him in the outfield. That was just to get him at some at-bats. But if you have Clint out there, there's no need for Miggy. He's the guy I think we got to move. And it pains me because we love him. 2 years ago, he should have been the rookie of the year. But he got hurt and he got Wally pipped. And it's sad to say, but he didn't come in and steal his job back. His defense got worse. They tried to tell him about it. Throw the ball overhand. No, I'm going to wing the ball over there, sidearm, after I double pump, give that batter a fighting chance, and I'm going to throw the ball away. That's good defense, right? No, it's not. In, breathe out. We have to think about future, long term. All right, I really want you guys to start thinking about it, because we're only concerned about what we see in the immediate. Cashman didn't make any improvements in the trade deadline. I'm not sure if there was really any chance he could have, other than overpaying. People wanted Clevinger. Lance Lynn was going to cost an arm and a leg. Fucking Lance Lynn was going to cost an arm and a leg. Maybe we thought we can get Gallo in that deal too. I mean, I don't know. I don't know who's going to be out there free agent wise. We'll go into that when the season ends. And then we'll take our chances. We'll guess. We'll make predictions. It'll be fun. Stick with me. But until then, we will just breathe in, breathe out. I believe tomorrow is an off day, so enjoy your holiday. You don't have to stop drinking to get ready to watch the Yankees before they make you drink some more. You can just drink on straight through. Enjoy the holiday. Follow me on Twitter at Savage Empire Pod. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Stick with me. Help build it. It's fun. I like to include everybody on Twitter. And we'll give you all shout outs. Hopefully it builds you guys up a little bit more. And let's suffer this together. Hopefully not too many more therapy sessions, but until they get better, I feel like there's at least one or two more coming. So if you hear this, that means we're going to have a therapy session. And everybody can get to breathe in and breathe out. And just remember this.
I'm your friend.
I am your friend. So enjoy your holiday, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your, well, I guess a couple days. I'll see you at the end of the Toronto series. And like always, hopefully we've righted the ship. The urgency has kicked in. Like Boone said, they turned the page. Like I said, they flipped the switch. All those things will happen, right? Right. Okay. Positive. And I hope you enjoyed your therapy session. Until next time, go Yankees.